Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 4, Text Number 22. Bhumen Bharavataranaya Yadushu Ajanma Jata Karishiti Surayar Api Dushkarani Badayar Vimohayati Yagyakrito Tad Arhan Shudran Kalo Chitti Bujo Nyahanishad Ante Bhumer Bharavataranaya Yadush Ajanma Jatak Karishiti Suraya Pidushkarani Vadair Vimo Hayati Yagna Krito Tadarhan Shudran Kalo Chitti Bujo Nahanishadante Bhumer Bharavataranaya Yadushva Janma Chatak Karishyati Surayra Pidushkarani Badair Vimo Hayati Yajna Krito Tadarhan Shudran Kalo Chitti Bujo Nayanish Yadante Bhumer Bharavataranaya Yadushva Janma Bhumer Bharavataranaya Yadushva Janma Jatak Karishyati Surai Rapi Dushkarani Padair Vimohayati Jagya Krito Dadartha Shudran Kalo Chitti Bujo Nyanishadante. More. Yishu Janma. Tat Karishyati Suraira Pidushkarani. Vadair Vimo Hayati Yagya Krito Tadarhan Udran Kalo Chitti Bujo Nyanishadante Bhumer Bharavataranaya Yadushva Janma Jatak Karishyati Sarayya Pidushkarani Vadair Vimo Hayati Yagya Krito Tadarhan Sudran Kalo Chitti Bujo Nyanishadante Bhumer Bharavataranaya Yudushvajanma Jatak Karishyati Sarara Pidushkarani Vadair Vimohati Yagyakrito Yadarhan Nayanishyadante. Any more? That's very good, but Prabhupada liked when everybody chanted the slokas. So the devotees were very enthusiastic because Prabhupada liked very much, so everybody wanted to chant. Okay, so translation, or word for word, Bhume, of the earth, Bara, the burden, Avataranaya, to diminish, Yadushu, in the Yadu dynasty, Ajanma, the unborn Lord, Jata, taking birth, Karishyati, he will perform, Surai, by the demigod, Api, even Dushkarani, difficult deeds, Vadai, by speculative arguments, Vimohayati, he will bewilder, Yagyakrita, the performers of Vedic sacrifices, Atat Arhan, who are unfit to be so engaged, Shudran, low-class men, Kalo, in the degraded age of Kali, Chitti Bhuja, rulers, Nahanasya, he will kill, Ante, at the end. Translation. To diminish the burden of the earth, the unborn Lord will take birth in the Yadu dynasty and perform feats impossible even for the demigods. Propounding speculative philosophy, the Lord as Buddha will bewilder the unworthy performers of Vedic sacrifices. And as Kalki, the Lord will kill all the low-class men posing as rulers at the end of the cage of Kali. Predictions. You might not have too much experience with Christians. They find in the Bible so many predictions, and they always ask us, does your book predict things? You know? And it predicts everything in detail about the age of Kali. Even though it was written 5,000 years ago, when the Kali Yuga hadn't even started, but it tells us exactly what's going on, more than most people even know, right? If you read the 12th canto, chapter 2. Purport. In this, understood that in this verse, a description of the Lord's appearance in the Yadu dynasty refers to both Krishna and Balaram, who together removed the demoniac rulers who were burdening the earth. Srila Jiva Goswami has pointed out that the description of the incarnations to deal with the Shudra, or low-class men, refers to both Buddha and Kalki, those who misuse Vedic sacrifice to engage in gross sense gratification, such as the sinful killing of animals, are certainly in the category of Shudra, as are the so-called political leaders of Kali Yuga, who perform many atrocities in the name of state management. And then he said to do 23 also, that's the end of the chapter. Evam vidani janmani karmani cha jagatpate budini budi yashasho varni tani mahabhuja. Translation. Almighty Arm King, there are innumerable appearances and activities of the Supreme Lord of the universe similar to those I've already mentioned. In fact, the glories of the Supreme Lord are unlimited. Thus ends the purports of the humble servants of His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 11th canto, 4th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Drumila, explains the incarnations of Godhead to King Nimi. So it's very nice to see such a big crowd here. Usually Sunday is smaller. Of course, we're still way behind. There's one church in America where they bought the basketball stadium and converted it, and it holds 16,000 seats, and it fills up three times every Sunday. Plus 7 million people watch it on television. But anyway, we're coming up. We have a more valuable, more bigger product, so we don't get as many people. Om Agana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Rijana Sahita Krishna Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tina Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Satarane Panchakalpa Truvyuscha Kripa Sindhu Bhavicha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Tushe Namaha Panchatatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakti Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namo Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Hare Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langaya Tegarim Tat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shigarundina Tarane. So you can all pray that Krishna will speak through me something that will help us all to advance in Krishna consciousness towards pure love for Krishna, for an unselfish, unmotivated, uninterrupted service attitude, which is required to go back to Godhead. I mentioned another one of these very big preachers in America. He has a team of people that pray during the lecture that he will speak nicely. He's humble enough to think like that. And millions of people listen. So they're giving religious principles, but not complete, not all. So they get bigger crowds. Prabhupada, he didn't want to compromise, so we don't always get the biggest crowds, but we're getting quite many. Yesterday I was at the hospital. They were having they told me it was Vaishnava Seva Prabhu's birthday party, but it was actually they'd received a plaque from a YouTube. Congratulations. It had a big silver YouTube button, and you have surpassed 100,000 subscribers. Actually, they have 220,000 subscribers. That's pretty good, you know. He told me that every day, 500,000 minutes of Krishna things is downloaded from ISKCON Desire Tree every day. It's a lot, right? So they have so much up there available. Now they have that television So if you're not connected, connect, because it connects you with any speaker that's got any kind of reputation in ISKCON, hundreds of them, and movies and dramas and children's things. A huge staff of people are working, you know, really hard to keep that up. So we see the Bhagavatam here is a predicting later that all the anomalies of the age of Kali. Incarnations are predicted in the first canto. Buddha is interesting because it's still very well known outside of India. The other incarnations outside of India and ISKCON are not very well known, or outside of Indian people. And even then, most of them are not very well known, only Ramchandra and Krishna, right? Most people are not so much thinking about Matsya and Kurma and Varaha, maybe Nrisimhadeva, but outside of India. But Buddha is very famous. But his teachings have been twisted around very much. So his main work that's mentioned in the Bhagavatam was to stop the bogus yajñas that were for killing animals. The brahmanas in the name of the Vedas were using those yajñas, you know, for killing animals, which are meant to discourage people and saying you have to do it because it's in the Vedas. And of course you have to pay the brahman to kill your animal. So he stopped that effectively. But in order to do that, he said, forget the Vedas, because the people presenting the Vedas were presenting them so wrongly. He said, just follow me. But then he taught real Vedic principles, but without the personality of God. So it's considered atheistic, but because he denied the Vedas, and the Vedas are actually very important. But now, most of the so-called Buddhists eat meat. They don't do yajna, though, but they eat the meat. And they have many, because they're Mayavadi, so they just are able to, like we had a boy, he's an initiated devotee now, but when I first went to Japan, he was already 40 years old or something, and he was, had studied, you know, all kinds of religions, and he finally was studying Hare Krishna. But he was working with Buddhist people. So he would hear the class, and then he would go and try to tell them. And it was very hard for him to understand why you can't eat meat, because the Buddha said, that's okay for neophytes. Neophytes have to discriminate. But the very advanced people, they see everything good, see. Everything is all one, and so it doesn't matter. Like yesterday, I was interviewed at the Desire Tree, and the questions were coming from the outside. And so the first one was, if we can't kill animals, so why can we kill the vegetables? It's a common question, right? You've all heard it? And what do you say? Of course, there's many explanations. For devotees, of course, Krishna doesn't want. And, of course, there's a small amount of violence, but the violence of killing an animal and picking a mango is really, you can't compare that, you know. Most of the grains are harvested after they die, right? They're not killing. The fruit trees give fruit for hundreds of years, sometimes thousands of years. The olive trees, anyway, I've seen trees that they say are. We saw one tree, they say this tree saw Jesus. You know, it was in the garden there where Jesus prayed, and it's thousands of years old. Nobody knows how old it is. Still giving fruit. And the more you pick the fruit, the more it gives. Right? On the fruit tree. If you don't pick the fruit, then it's not good for the tree. So that's one thing. And then but if it is that you pull up the spinach or something, it's still living. But that's why we have to offer to Krishna. Because there's some karma involved. But that's, if as long as we take only what we need and we offer to Krishna, that's the laws of nature. For the humans, the food is that kind of food. For the meat-eating animals, that's their kind of food. But they don't kill unnecessarily. They kill it only when they eat, and they eat it all. Like lions and tigers, they kill something, eat everything, and then they just fall asleep for a week because they have to eat it all at once. They don't. And whatever's left over, the vultures come and the jackals. And so that's also nature. Nature has arranged for all the different animals and food for them. And humans, there's also food for them. But humans, being in a higher level of independence, can do what's not meant for them, right? Animals are regulated in their sex life by force. There's only like once a year for a lot of animals where the females are ready. And otherwise, they don't go on raping, you know. Only when it's mating season they do it. But humans, we have this free will, so it's very dangerous to have. But it also can be very advantageous if we use it, it regulate our life. So that's the answer we give. And still, there is some karma, so you have to offer everything to Krishna, otherwise you're stealing. But so I was just hearing one lecture by Prabhupada. It's very amazing, nice things he said, which we know, but we should think about. As far as our preaching work goes in engaging people in Krishna's service. So this verse is saying, Shushu Shot Shadadanasya. You know that verse? Vasudeva Kataruchi Shushu Shot. That, you know, by having a little faith in the Vasudeva Kata, then you can get love of Godhead and get everything. It's from the first canto, chapter 2, verse 16. Those who are engaged in hearing with faith, adoshadha, without faith you cannot make any progress. That is the beginning of life, spiritual life, adoshadha. And so the faith is the most important thing, not knowledge. Knowledge comes automatically when one has faith, because when you have faith we practice hearing and chanting, but faith is a real important factor. Chanting with faith, it's stressed and mentioned so many times. Hearing with faith, serving with faith, donating with faith, whatever you're doing, eating with faith. This is Krishna prasadam. If I eat this, I'm getting Krishna, you know. To have faith. So Prabhupada said, here is Krishna consciousness, very nice. So they are preaching nicely. People still, they are praising our activities. If we keep our standard, then they will appreciate. If we don't keep the standard, then we're just like everybody else. That is called shraddha. This appreciation is called shraddha, shraddhanasya. Even if he does not join, if someone says, oh, it is very nice, it is, these people are good. Sometimes they say, newspapers, these Hare Krishnas, they're nice. We want more of them. They say, so this appreciation is also a lift for such people. If he doesn't hear, doesn't come, simply one says, it is very nice. Yes, just like small children, a baby, he's also appreciating, trying to stand up with his symbol, appreciating from the very beginning. It is nice. He knows or he does not know, it doesn't matter. Simply appreciation is giving him a touch of spiritual life. It is so nice. So if they do not go against, simply appreciate they are doing nice. Development of spiritual life means development of the appreciation, but by degrees. And that's stated in the fourth canto, that if someone just appreciates the preacher, he gets the same benefit as the preacher does. Like in Melbourne, Australia, in the early days, devotees, you know, were doing Harinam, and at that point in time, you know, at first there was two or three devotees, so nobody really paid any attention. Then in a very short time of a few months, there was like 50 devotees. So people started to really notice it, and then they started to complain. So the devotees were being chased all over the place by the police. And, you know, a lot of harassment, getting arrested all the time and getting all kinds of citations. And Prabhupada said, just keep chanting. And then the city government made a lawsuit against the devotees. And Prabhupada said, don't get a lawyer, just keep chanting. So it went to court, and devotees didn't even defend themselves. And finally the judge, he said, you know, I think it's very nice that these people are singing in the streets of our city, and it's very colorful, and this stupid city wasted so much money trying to stop them. You rascals. So the judge, you know, he never, I don't know if he ever went to the temple or read the Bhagavatam, but he appreciated the Harinam. And it was a really big thing that, you know, the people were, one famous singer made a song about the poor Hare Krishnas being harassed by the nasty government, and people were really starting to appreciate the Hare Krishnas, you know. And so they make advancement. So the more we expose ourselves, and the people that appreciate, people that condemn us, and sometimes they make advancement also because they keep saying Hare Krishna. Even if they're saying those stupid Hare Krishnas. In Russia, that the government got in anxiety when a lot of people were becoming devotees. So they started to make a lot of propaganda bad about the Hare Krishnas are bad. So it exposed a lot of people. I knew one devotee, and he was in America then. So he had become a devotee when he was in high school, at the time when it was very underground. So he never told anybody. You know, he never talked about Krishna. But the KGB knew about him. So they came to the school and they were asking everybody, you know, George? And they said, yeah. And they said, is he a Hare Krishna? And he said, what's Hare Krishna? Yeah. So after the police left, everybody came to him and said, what's Hare Krishna? Must be something good. You know? They're so interested in it. So then he, you know, all of a sudden they all knew about Krishna. So if we can be good, keep our standard, like with our Radha Damodar bus party, Prabhupada actually wrote in one purport, said the devotees are traveling in a bus with the deities, and they're distributing books and they're doing kirtan. Then he said, if they follow the regulator principles and chant their 16 rounds, they will be successful. He didn't say if they get, you know, better buses and they put on a better show, they'll be successful. He said, if they follow the regulator principles and chant their 16 rounds every day, then they'll be successful. Because he knew that sometimes devotees get bewildered by their so-called service or something, and they neglect their rounds. And then there's no Shakti. Even if we make a good show, there's no Shakti. We want to do both, you know, like we want to have beautiful temples. But if
there's no devotees, or all the devotees are, you know, doing nonsense yajnas and stuff, then it's of no use. So the Bhagavatam predicts many, many things. It also predicts Lord Chaitanya, but not so much. It's hidden. You know, right? That the Lord will, there'll be an incarnation that's always chanting, and he's just like Krishna, but he's got his associates. So that's the Gaudiya understands that's predicting Lord Chaitanya. Not everybody understands that, because it's hidden. Because Vishnu is called Tri Yuga Avatar. There's no Kali Yuga. But there's Buddha. Buddha actually, you know, paved the way for Lord Chaitanya. So did Shankaracharya. Although their preaching and their teachings, we condemn them, but they were needed at the time. Some people can't understand why Krishna would come and cheat people in disguise, you know, and Buddha. But the modern Buddhists are bewildered. But there are some, like in China, many, many of the devotees were strictly practicing one type of Buddhism, where they chant the name of Buddha and they're vegetarian and stuff. But many of them, they say that's bogus, you know, and they don't do that. And they say, you know, it's all one. You can do anything. So Lord Chaitanya is what's important. So we can see that if we study the predictions of Kali Yuga in that 12th chapter, 12th canto, Lord Chaitanya is not mentioned there. All the degraded things are mentioned. And they're all going on strong already. Some places more than others, but going on strong. The politicians and the kings will be expert at taxation, and you know, there's so much corruption, so many things, and there's even more details in Mahabharata. There'll be hotels on every, there'll be women of ill report, ill repute on every corner. There'll be hotels everywhere. They'll eat anything. They'll have sex with anything. It goes on and on and on, you know. And they're all, it's all happening, and it's only the beginning. The weather becomes completely disruptive. Can't predict it anymore. The women will dress over alluringly to agitate the minds of men, right? That's what's being promoted everywhere and by the fashion industry. But Lord Chaitanya is predicted also. And the Sankirtan movement will, and that's also spreading. That's also happening. And so the demons, the Kali's agents, to promote illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, meat eating, they work very hard. In their, especially in their advertising, cleverly trying to promote these things. And so we have to work harder. We have to plan more how to promote the good life. The main thing is if we promote the scripture, book distribution like everybody's doing. Yesterday I was at the, somebody called me over there to the Mira Road temple, and they were having a meeting about book distribution. There's a lot of devotees there, you know, not their whole congregation, but that, you know, Prabhupada stressed the most, this is what will have the effect. And the spreading of the holy name in whatever way we can. So devotees are doing many, many things, and we can all do many things. Like Vaishnava Seva Prabhu, he said, he was talking about their Facebook, and the Juhu Temple is number 5 for comments and likes on Facebook. So many million. There's a few that are way, way ahead, But they're even ahead of that Shad Guru, who's, you know, really popular nowadays. But so many people watch it. And so he was saying that we should encourage every devotee to have their own Facebook also. But not to show off your new car or your new motorcycle or your new haircut, right? So that, because we do get devotees doing that. Girls posing and everybody says, oh, gorgeous, oh, wow, you know. I tell them, you know, please, you know, there's a lot of lusty men looking at for you, you know, and they're going to, many people are captured and cheated, you know, and like that. But put up Krishna conscious things, you know, many, many devotees are, and, you know, people love it, and more people see it on their YouTube. You know, whoever watches YouTube, anybody? Right? Ever watch Gaur Gopal? Yeah. Everybody does. He's one of the most popular ISKCON speakers by far. But so I'm sitting here. I wondered if I get empowered by all the great talks that have gone on here. But so 45% of the people that watch them comes from they're watching something, maybe Shadguru or, you know, anybody, something so-called spiritual, and on the side it'll be other things. So ISKCON will be there sometimes, like very strange things. And, you know, depending on what you've ever watched, you know, they're trying to choose what you might like, you know, like if you buy something from Amazon. I bought something and it was completely bodily maintenance thing. But I bought a few other things and I bought some books. So immediately I got, you know, based on, you know, you might like this and, you know, Vishaka's book and all the devotee books, you know, like a whole long list of devotee books. So, you know, people get 45% of the people that watch the ISKCON Desire Tree YouTube comes from that, you know. So the more we put up there, the more, so everybody can put up something. One of the devotees that was at the college there, he's a very brilliant preacher, but he's putting up like 2 or 3 minute talks. And then he connects with a lot of people on his YouTube, and then he connects and they hear that, they like it. And, you know, anybody can listen to 2 or 3. I get really inspired by that. I get tell all the devotees in Japan to start putting up, you know, just anything practically. Just even a selfie, you know, just but talk a little bit. I heard a brilliant talk by one devotee, I think it was from Nasik though, but about the selfie culture and ahankar. Look at me, here I am. But if we're talking about Krishna, then good. If you're, you know, going to the temple, and but show pictures of the temple, not just yourself at the temple, you know, right? And sometimes I see devotees, here I am at the temple, here I am in Mayapur, but there's no anything else, only them, you know. So we want to, you know, also, you know, I was on Harinam in Tokyo, and people don't pay much attention to us in Japan. And I saw one couple, and they were really intensely. And I thought, wow, they're really watching, they're filming us, you know. Then I looked again, and they were trying to get the building behind them in the selfie. They didn't even see us. They were 10 feet away, but they didn't know we were there, you know. They're so absorbed in getting a picture with some restaurant or a karaoke shop or whatever. So Prabhupada is stressing that, you know, if anyone just appreciates, so if they just see that, oh, that devotee was friendly, these people are nice. So he goes on and on through all the ruchi. As soon as he gets a ruchi, Vasudeva Katha ruchi, that comes from Shushu Shadit Vasudeva Katha ruchi. Ruchi means taste. So here Krishna talks, very nice, let me hear. that very much, you get the sword immediately. The sword is in your hand. Vasudeva Kata Ruchi. But the Ruchi comes to whom? This taste. Because as I have several times explained, the taste, just like sugar candy, everyone knows it is sweet. But if you give it to a man who is suffering from jaundice, he'll taste it bitter. Everyone knows sugar candy is sweet, but the particular man who is suffering from disease, jaundice, he will taste it. Does anybody have that experience? I have. I got jaundice when I was in Juhu, and it was the day that they had that attack. So everything was total chaos, you know. So I was in a room by myself, and everybody was in a total panic, and I was thinking, oh, now I can rest, but it got so bad I couldn't even see the ceiling. And so the devotees came in and they said, do you want some sugar candy? Because we didn't really know, but we heard Prabhupada said this is, we didn't know you're supposed to boil it with papaya and stuff, and green papaya. But so I said, yeah. And they left the sugar candy and ran out because they were really busy then in the chaos, you know. And so I tasted it and I thought, they got cheated. This is not sugar, you know. It's India, I know they're cheating, right? Then you know, cheat the foreigners. So I, yeah, you know, this is not sugar. And one day they brought papaya, and I said, this is rotten. It's no good. They said, no, this is really nice. But for me, it tasted horrible, rotten. And the sugar candy was like battery acid. And then I found a jug in the back room, full of these black, horrible-looking things. And so I was going to throw it out. And Sridhar Swami said, no, don't throw that out. This is a 10-year-old lemon pickles or something. And it's really medicine. So I ate that lemon pickle. It tasted like gulab jamun. I said, wow. I ate the whole jar in 2 days. The big, you know, milk can like that. And I started getting better immediately after that. But it tasted so sweet. I don't know what it would taste like normally, you know, 10-year-old, but that's supposed to cure anything. So Prabhupada goes on, he said, usually as soon as one is doing bhajana kriya and observes the regular principles, he gets free from anarthas. It's like we say no illicit sex. And so you can get rid of all these things. Krishna, a man can marry more than one wife. A woman cannot marry one. So we have to get rid of the anarthas. Then he says, you know, we don't have a taste, so we have trouble to chant even 16 rounds. Taste means if you like it, that's called taste. Not that by force one has to eat something. Unless he got a taste for it, just like if we are forced to eat meat, we cannot eat because we have no taste for it. But another, as soon as you give him meat, he's voracious eating because he's got a taste. So it's acquired. When you get the sword, if there's a taste, then you can very nicely go on chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Because of taste. Rupa Goswami, he increased the taste. They were liberated. Therefore, he's writing, if I had millions of tongues and millions of ears, then I could nicely chant and hear. But as far as we're concerned, because we have no taste, 16 rounds is very difficult because we have no taste. Why is there no taste? Because we are lacking the previous process, bhajana kriya. So to get the sword, to cut through Maya. Prabhupada mentions that some preachers in some religions, they go with a sword and they say, we'll kill you. And the Christians did that for quite some time. Swords, bombs, guns, hanging, burning at the stake, anything, if you're not a Christian. They deny that now, but Muslims did it. But Prabhupada, we have the sword, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And one can cut through the labyrinthian knots of ignorance, you know, with the sword of knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam. So, you know, we're always requesting everybody read the Srimad Bhagavatam. Hear the Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. Now it's, the books are available. Most devotees have the full set of books, but I've been in houses where they're all still shrink-wrapped. Maybe one is open. So it's not like they're reading it voraciously. Maybe they're just started with the first canto. But read it at least a little bit, you know, every day. I was giving a class yesterday online and somebody said, well, that was just what I wanted to hear. I said, the Bhagavatam is always just what you need to hear. But you have to hear it, though. You know, you don't have to go looking in a certain place. You just open it up and read it, and it'll be what you need, because it's always Krishna from all different angles. So we're promoting that. Chant the holy name. Of course, there's so much chance to hear Bhagavatam speakers now. Devotees are, you know, YouTube is full of so much now. But there's a lot of competition, you know. There's some things, some nonsense, crazy things you pop up on YouTube and, you know, 11 million views or something. We're doing good, you know, if there's a kirtan mela and there's 10,000 or 50,000 or something. You know. But people don't have a taste. They have a taste for insanity. But the more we put up everywhere, the more we go out, the more we go out with tilak, so people see us. They're reminded of Krishna. And then they'll talk about Krishna. They're approached with books. You know, they see the Harinam parties. They need to see it again and again. Right? Just like we were coming out from the Govardhan village when we got out to the highway. There was a huge sign, McDonald's, 2 kilometers. They're world popular, world famous, but they have signs everywhere. every city in the world. In China, when we come off the train, first thing you see, McDonald's, KFC. Right in, you know, you can't, as soon as you're out the door of the train station, they're right there. And they made a new one every day for years. Opened a new one. We have a lot of temples, but we're not every day opening a new temple. You know, but we should be. But if anybody gets a book, their house becomes a temple. You know, if anybody chants the holy name at home, the house is a temple also. So we do have a lot of temples. We don't have to have all this big temples. We were hearing a Prabhupada said in Bombay there should be thousands of temples. So there are, in one sense, because there's many, many homes worshipping deities and following the regulated principles, most of you, well, all of you probably. So those are all temples. And then if you invite people to your temple, it makes it a better temple. Invite people, depending on the person, just for prasadam, or just, you know, for kirtan, for Bhagavad Gita, but everybody should be teaching, giving something, somehow or other. So we have extra time today, so maybe there's some comments or questions, reflections. All right, anybody? Yes, sir. Microphone. How did Suta Goswami speak to 60,000 sages?
That was end of Dwapar Yuga. This is Kali Yuga. Okay, Haribol, my question is, like, I am Krishna conscious, but in my home we do demigod worship. Means we have Ganpati festival. Now Navaratri festival happened. Like, people go to.
Can you slow down? Okay.
okay, I'm Krishna conscious devotee, but in my home we do a demigod worship. Means we have Ganpati festival, 10 days Ganpati festival. Then people do Navaratra festival. Just now it happened. So people worship demigods like Ganpati, Devi, Shiva,
right.
Mahashivratra. They do their upas, means vrata, all this they do, fasting of those demigods. But I also do like Krishna consciousness fast, like Ekadashi. So some people do both the fast, like of the demigods as well as Krishna. So they do both the worship, like. Means my grandmother used to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra also, and used to also do Gayatri Mantra Jab. She was Om Namah Shivaya. Everything she used to do. Such of a mixed worship is there. Like in Indians, they don't do pure Hare Krishna this worship. So what is the gati of such people? Like what is the faith? Because they have mixed faith, like you can say. Demigod as well as Krishna. Means we say Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam in Bhagavad Puran. But they do mix worship.
It's a beginning state. It's good. We need to teach people, you know, in many parts of the world where there's a very big Hindu population, we never tell people don't worship the demigods, but that the demigods like Krishna Kirtan, right? They're all Krishna devotees. So they like Krishna Kirtan and they like Krishna Prasad. So offer the demigods Krishna Prasad. Then they worship Krishna properly. To get the benefit of demigod worship, you have to do it right, which most people don't know that. So that means that you worship Vishnu and then you give the prasadam to the demigods. That's the thing where they don't know. So if we can somehow teach that, you know, they like Krishna prasadam. They like kirtan. So if they're chanting Krishna sometimes, and if we can somehow, you know, give them knowledge of that Krishna is supreme, Shiva worship properly, you know, he's, of course we have, you know, it's offensive to think the names of demigods are equal to independent holy name of Lord Vishnu. But then in Priyat Bhagavatamrita we'll find that it's offensive to think that Shiva is different than Krishna. That's for devotees, because Shiva is simultaneously one and different. Chiram yata dadivikara vishesha yoga. But it's like Sakshad Hari. He's a guru. He's a head of a sampradaya. So we try to teach people more about Lord Shiva, understand more. And he worships Krishna. Some won't accept that, but you know that. But Om Namo Shivaya. The interesting is, I was in the country Azerbaijan, and one devotee organized a program called Mantras. So we were part of the program, because you had to be careful there about openly presenting religion. And there was one guy came on. I found out later his name is Mr. Happy. And he was an incredible singer and he played electric violin. And he said, Om Namo Shivaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya also. He also chanted that. And that's what he does. He goes around and chants mantras. So I told the devotees, please try to get him to start chanting Hare Krishna also. But he does chant Om Namo Om Namo Bhagavate. Very beautiful singer. He has a girl backup, you know. And he gets a lot of people chanting. He also mostly chants Om Namo Shivaya. But many, many people, there's Tarna Chaitanya, he's an incredible kirtan leader, young boy. And he mostly goes with yoga groups. He was traveling with one yoga group around, and you know they wanted to chant all these mantras, but gradually they said, "Chant Hare Krishna." You know, the more they heard Hare Krishna, he said, "We like Hare Krishna. Chant that more." And they didn't care so much about the other mantras, because when you chant Hare Krishna, you get Krishna. You know, it's much different.
And when, especially when you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, because then that's Lord Chaitanya gave that, and that's the recommended mantra for this age, so it has like special potency. So don't say anything bad about the demigods, but try to encourage more worship of Krishna, more chanting of a Krishna, because the demigods like that. Right? Narada Muni Vajavina. Right? All the demigods went mad chanting Krishna. All right? Thank you. That's satisfying? Anyone else? Yes, sir.
That's a wonderful class. You mentioned one point that faith is better than knowledge, quoting Prabhupada. Regarding that only I have a question. Isn't that knowledge helps anyone to develop faith, or faith is independent?
Yeah. Faith, proper knowledge, you know, but it comes automatically. Gyanashe Vragya Vairagyam. What's that verse?
Vasudeva.
Who knows? Everybody that knows it. Say it. Vasudevi Bhagavati. Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. Gyanat Chaivagyam Vairagyam. What's the last? Ahoitukam. Causeless. Ahoituki. So by worship of Vasudev, the Supreme Lord, by Bhakti Yoga, then knowledge and renunciation come automatically. So some knowledge might give you some faith. You know, like Prabhupada said, someone sees a devotee, they get some association, so they'll develop some faith. And then when they get some faith, they'll practice. So hearing and chanting means practice. So proper hearing should increase the faith. But without faith, just hearing without faith, doesn't give you bhakti. You know, like dry study, dry renunciation. Without faith, chanting without faith. That's like, we get questions often. Someone was devotee for some time, they were doing everything nicely, it looked like, you know, they were chanting their rounds, they were quoting so many slokas, and then they left. So why? They didn't have faith. They were just doing it for some other motivation to make an impression, or, you know, to see what it's like, or whatever reason. If they don't develop faith, faith is subtle and mysterious. So. But it goes together. You know, if you have faith, you're going to hear more than you... If you hear properly and you get know more about Krishna, that should develop more faith. Faith is, you can just search on the Vedabase faith and see how many times it's there. Chanting with faith, hearing with faith, serving with faith, you know, this is faith. This will get me back to Godhead if I do this, you know. And the spiritual master was connecting us with the parampara and all the way back to Krishna. This is the real thing. Faith. You have to really believe it. Faith, trust, you know. Trust is very important in any group. Faith, it means trust. You have to trust Krishna. Some people think, like Mahatma Prabhu, he asked in some classes, you know, why don't you want to surrender? And even these are aspiring devotees. They say things like, well, Guru might ask me to do something I don't want to do. You know, in other words, I don't really believe that what the Guru is going to tell me is going to be right. I have to decide for myself. You know, well, this part of the Bhagavad Gita is pretty nice, but this part, I don't know. That's how people do nowadays. Right? Well, we don't know that this is, you know, exactly right, or, you know. Christians especially are not sure that this part's okay, but that part's not okay. So-called Christian. So faith is very, very important. It's very, You know, that I think Mahatma does big seminars on faith. We have faith in so many things. People will say, well, that you just have faith. You know, you believe in Krishna because it's only faith. It's useless. You know? But they have faith in the scientists, Prabhupada. We have faith that in all these drunken, crazy people, when we drive a car, that they're going to stay in the lane, right? It's a miracle. And the airplane is not going to fall apart, you know. Right? The pilot is not going to, you know, be drunk or, you know. You have to have faith in everything we do practically. So we need to have that conviction. Utsaha nischaya dairat, you know, to be convinced. That's faith. And then do it with enthusiasm. But we want to cultivate knowledge, but knowledge of bhakti, knowledge of Krishna. But someone without any knowledge, if they have faith, is much better off than a person with a lot of knowledge that doesn't have faith. That's what I was trying to say. Like the Brahmin in South India, right? He was trying to read the Bhagavad Gita. He had faith in the guru's instruction. He would do this every day. And people laughed at him because he couldn't pronounce. He didn't really know how to read properly. But every day he tried. And Lord Chaitanya said, but I see you're very blissful. Why is that? Oh, Krishna is so wonderful. He's driving the chariot of Arjuna whenever I think of that. You know? And he said, my guru ordered me to do this and I don't even know how to read, but I'm trying every day. So he didn't say, well, excuse me, guru, but you don't understand. I don't know how to read, so give me a different instruction. Can I just go to the temple and offer a flower every day or something? Right? Wouldn't that be a lot better than something that's difficult? But no, the guru might tell us do something difficult. Go out and, you know, follow the regular principles and try to tell other people about Krishna. All right. Another one? Okay, that was fast. Another one over there. Next, second. We have a powerful air conditioner.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. We find most of the people are materialist in the present days of Kali Yuga. And they feel that if they come to Krishna consciousness, then whatever they have built up in their material life, their business, their job, or, you know, their family, they feel that it will get ruined. They have got the feeling. And this fear they have got, and that's why they are not attracted to us this. So first question is whether it is a fact, and second question is, if it is not a fact, then how to get them attracted to us?
Can you slow down a little bit? Because my hearing is not very good.
Maharaj, first question is whether this fear, is it a fact or it is an illusion?
This fear?
That fear that their material life, their business, their family, whatever they have built up in material life, it will get ruined, spoiled by coming to Krishna consciousness. They have got that feeling, the fear. Is it a fact?
Some of their material life might be. Their meat eating and their intoxication and prostitution hunting. You know. That will definitely be disturbed. Their business, then there's so many, many devotees here are businessmen, right? Some are extremely successful, evidently. Like, I was at the hospital yesterday, and I went for the blood test. They have a new section now, the blood testing section. Anybody seen that? So, you know, I was on the ground floor, and they said you go to 6th floor. Because last time I had it was a little tiny room in the back of the first floor, ground floor. Go to 6th floor. It's a whole floor. There's this gigantic machine. Looked like a super copy machine or something, you know. It's like 2 meters long. I said, what's that machine? You know, I said, well, this is our new blood testing. She was in ecstasy to show it off. And so you just put the
You just put the blood here, and then it goes through this whole machine and tests everything like super excellently. And they don't have to touch anything. And it dumps it in the trash bin at the end and prints out the report. 1.5 crore machine. And one husband and wife devotee donated it. So his business must be doing all right, right? But I don't think he's going out drinking and, you know, partying. So that will be disturbed if that's... But, you know, their house and home and, you know, their business, their money, that's not going to necessarily be disturbed. Occasionally that happens. If somebody's too much attached to sense gratification, to misusing their whatever they have, the Krishna may take it away if they're sincere. But generally, no. I mean, there's many devotees who are struggling very much, or with their studies, or all kinds of things, and when they become devotees, everything gets better. Right? Many. So they're... But Krishna knows, you know, we have these phobias. Right? They have these scientific names for phobias. So there's one, fear of religion. It's a very complicated name. I can't remember it, but some kind of language, you know. Fear of religion. Krishna knows we're afraid to surrender, so he says, don't have any fear. Sarva dharma pratichaja, mame kam sharanam, aham tvam sarva papevyo, moksha, you know, don't be afraid. I'll take care of you. I'll protect you. Right? The fear is there, but Krishna takes care. You know, what if I surrender to Krishna? Arjuna was afraid. Right? It's what happens if you try and you don't make it? Then you'll be lost. Right? You'll be nowhere. You give up your material life, then you give up your spiritual life. Maya will be right there to take you back. She's ready and waiting to take anyone back. But that fear is there, so Krishna says, don't be afraid, I will protect you. That's a symptom of surrender, but, you know, so we can, by associating with people that have surrendered and their material life is going on, right? But there's also karma factors, so some devotees are poor, some are rich, you know. Some materialists also lose everything, even though they're trying so hard to get it, right? Sometimes they make a bad investment and everything fails, right? Or they get divorced and their wife takes everything. Do they do that? Can they do that in India? Can they do that in India? You know, and the rich people in the West, before they get married, they make a divorce agreement. Because by law, you know, she could get half, or she can take everything, or demand $1 million a month to maintain her lifestyle or something. So they make an agreement before they get married. It's common. You heard of Paul McCartney? The Beatle? You know, he's the richest musician in the world. So when he was getting married, everybody told him, his children told him, all his friends told him, this girl is a gold digger. And she just wants the money. You should make this agreement. He said, oh, that's not romantic. I don't want to do that. I'm in love. So a couple of years later, it was on the front page of the newspaper every day in London, practically. The most expensive divorce in the history of England. She's demanding half his money. Now, that's half of $1 billion, so... It's no big deal, but the pride is so heavy, you know, you don't want to give her anything. But everybody warned him, but he did. So this is the madness of Kali Yuga, you know. But so the karma factor is there, but basically if someone is sincerely trying to serve Krishna, Krishna will always help him to have facility to do that.
And we had a story in BTG some years ago. One girl, she was she couldn't find time to chant and to study and this and that. And then somehow or other, she just got enlivened and said, "Okay, I'm just gonna first thing chant my 16 rounds every day." And then when she started doing that, everything else fell into place, and she studied better and became peaceful. And we had a boy like that in Greece. He was doing really bad in school and had no interest in it. Then he became a devotee, and he got a prize, €1,000, for the most improved student. And his parents were, like, really happy that he became a devotee, you know. And now he's a full-time brahmachari book distributor, but, you know. But he finished. Unfortunately, he moved to Italy. He didn't stay in Greece. Greece has got some kind of curse on it. But anyway, there's a lot of good stories. That's a true story. Any other over here? Yeah, sure. Very clear. A really good camera in this one.
Hare Krishna. Yeah. Last time I asked one question to His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj about who is pure deity. And Maharaj answered that pure deity, brahmachari, maybe sannyasi, like that. But in Bhagavatam, it is different. Bhagavatam says, the gopis who are not qualified, not educated, they got a higher level of love. And similarly, about the Brahmani views, Brahmani's wife, they were also not educated. They were also not educated, but they got Krishna's. So pure devotion service means what?
Okay, good question.
So who is a pure devotee? Whether it is brahmachari, or sannyasi.
Pure has nothing to do with it.
No qualification required. Maybe pure devotee like gopis and brahmani's wife. They were also pure devotee.
Ashram has nothing to do with it. Someone asked Prabhupada once, how many, you know, pure devotees are there in the world? Prabhupada said, how many members do we have? But he said, pure means no material motivation. It can be a sudra, it can be Vaishya, it can be anybody. But they're serving for Krishna's pleasure. Not, you know, for some kind of material motivation. Dharma projita kaita votra nirmat saranam satam. Bhagavatam rejects religion that is materially motivated. So the ashram is not, you know, there are, you know, all kinds of people in every ashram. So pure means no material motivation, just trying to serve for the pleasure of Krishna, or aspiring to do that even. If we just know that's the ultimate goal, like at the end of this class I was reading from, Prabhupada said, so things are difficult, at the same time they're easy, provided that we're determined, in this life I shall go back to Godhead. These are the processes. So he was going over the four later principles and, you know, how we have to give them up and if we have a taste. So nirmat saranam satam literally is, nirmatsara means non-envious. Right? That's the word-for-word translation. In the translation, Prabhupada said, for those who are pure in heart. Isn't it? Is that right? Yeah, read the book. It's there. For those who are pure in heart. So no material motivation. I'm not trying to get a reputation. I'm not trying to get money, you know, and it's Maya is always testing us also. Because if someone is serving Krishna very nicely, they're going to get complimented and we're going to get all these things. And then we have to be very careful to understand Krishna's mercy. Does that help? Is that all right? Huh? It's all right? The gopis, of course, are the most pure devotees because all they cared about was Krishna's pleasure. That was their qualification, more than anybody else. Pure love for Krishna. They didn't want anything in return at all. They just want to give to Krishna. So if we can work on that mood, that we just want to serve Krishna, amanina, amanadina, and kirtaniya, sadahari, then we can chant all the time. But we don't have a taste. We have a taste for many other things. Right? Okay, one more.
Part in the 12th chapter, second verse, Lord Krishna says, "Maya vesha manoyamam nitya yukta upasate shraddhaya paropetaste teme yukta teme tatama mataha." Means one who worships me with faith, he achieves me. And what happens, like when we are in Krishna consciousness, our faith in Krishna strengthens a lot. Means we come from various backgrounds, like demigod worship, or for that matter, Christianity, Islam, anyone can come in Krishna consciousness. So when their previous faith goes away, and when they come in Krishna consciousness, when they are in that situation, like they worship Ganpati, they worship Shiva, Durga, all the demigods, So they should become faithless to those, like they should not visit their temples, they should not go to Bara Jyotirlingas, or we can say to Ganpati Ashtavinayak, or all these places, other demigod places. So they should only go to Krishna places like Tirupati or Mathura Vrindavan. So the faith is there on Krishna, so they don't. Because that faith was there with these demigods previously, so they should not go out. So they should become faithless to those.
Yeah, but gradually someone worships Krishna in association of devotees, they will get more and more attached to Krishna and they'll get understanding. But when we honor the demigods as devotees of Krishna. And, you know, we're just chanting Brahma Samhita. So there's prayers there that are specific, you know, Shristi Stitti Pralaya Sadhana Yatpada Pallava, you know. That's the proper way to worship those main ones, mostly Ganesh and Parvati and Shiva, the sun god, you know. So that's the proper way to worship. Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So slowly, slowly. That's why kirtan is so important, because almost anybody will join in a Hare Krishna kirtan. The Mayavadis, they also chant Hare Krishna sometimes. I used to once in a while visit one so-called incarnation. So they chant many bhajans. They chanted Hare Krishna, but they kind of changed the words around. But when we chanted Hare Krishna, they joined in. Everybody joined in with, you know, really blissful. But then they all take turns leading one bhajan, and everybody just kind of sits there waiting for their turn. But when we chant Hare Krishna, everybody gets very blissful. So the more we just can promote, get people to just join a kirtan and have an extended kirtan, they automatically rise above all these other things. That's the way to do it. Not by teaching, you know, that doesn't work. By purification, prasadam and kirtan. And if they take Bhagavad Gita, read it, of course, then Prabhupada can preach to people. We're not so qualified. And there's a big difference Prabhupada stressed giving the books because people might say, oh, I paid for this book, let me see what's in there. So when they open it, it's a little bit submissive mood. But if I'm talking to them, we all know from our own experience, we're just thinking, how am I going to argue? How am I going to reply to this person? We don't even hear what they're saying. Many, many times. Listening is a very difficult art to develop. So, you know, they've heard so many things, and when we try to, but the kirtan will dry, you know, just purify everything. So more kirtan and more prasadam, and don't bother them so much. One should not disturb the minds of the less intelligent, but rather engage them somehow or other. Engage them in chanting the holy name and taking prasadam, or helping you in some way to do something. Pick some flowers for Krishna, you know, whatever. Engage them in some sort of service to Krishna. So most of us, you know, from the West, we're at least, I shouldn't say all the Prabhupada said all my disciples were Jagai and Madai, but I was definitely, and Prabhupada rescued us. You know, in the India, many were maybe not, you know, engaged in the so enthusiastically in gross sinful activities, although now that's quite prominent. But, you know, everybody had misconceptions about the demigods and everything. But by associating with devotees, they get purified. All right, so 10 o'clock, right on time. Thank you very much. Wow, even more came in. There's another question back there, but more questions. I don't know if we have time. Who's in charge here? I don't want to break the rules. Huh? Can we take more? Nobody's saying no. Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you for your wonderful class. Maharaj, day before yesterday, I witnessed a great tragedy in front of my eyes. Talking about faith, we take faith very seriously when we are in association of devotees, and we go in a superficial level because the time is like it's a smooth ride when we talk about faith. When some tragedy occurs in front of our eyes, how to maintain that faith on Krishna? Because I saw dead bodies lying around me. There was small kids, mothers, teenagers, boys, different ages, almost 20, 25, more than that also.
Wow. Where was that?
There was a tragedy in Mumbai day before yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. Around 20, 30 people got killed in a stampede. So at that moment, I saw people crying out, crying very loudly, how could God can do that to them? And that thing struck me like wonder, and it was the testing moment for me also, that because when we see people crying out, yes, faith get dwindled. So how to maintain the faith, basically, at that kind of moment?
Well, it's a material world, so it's a world of birth, death, old age, and disease, right? So, like Bhagavad Gita, it says that indifferent, but not that we don't have compassion, but birth, why do we celebrate birth and lament death when whoever is born is going to die? We should lament. Oh, this person's going to die. Oh, this baby's going to die. How can God, you know, nobody thinks like that. If a baby dies very young, of course, if an old man dies, we don't think about it very much. It's normal. But when there's some kind of thing like that, how can God let this happen? Because we came to the material world, philosophically. There is a spiritual world where it doesn't happen. But why did we leave it? Now, why did God let you leave? Because you didn't want to stay. Now, he could have just But it's the mercy that there is a material world, and then we should see, well, how bad the material world is, and we'd like to get out. In other parts of the world, there were probably much bigger tragedies at the same moment. There's also millions of people celebrating birth. I just have a question, like, just to get off that, but that we do get shaken up, but, you know, Krishna is giving everybody what they deserve according to their karma. But one devotee girl just had a baby, and, you know, a lot of her friends were following the pregnancy, and everybody says congratulations. Now, why you congratulate for someone for giving birth when, you know, it's just every day millions of people give birth. Animals, pigs give birth to so many. What's the big deal, you know? You congratulate someone when their child finishes high school or, you know, gets initiated, you know, some accomplishment. But giving birth, it's just an ordinary thing, and anyone can do that. Why do we say congratulations? You can say congratulations like yesterday Vaishnav Seva said his 24th wedding anniversary. So congratulations. That's an accomplishment, you know. It's not easy, right? You have to really do something, you know. But giving birth, it's you know, you should say good, great, you know, and good luck, and make sure that you take good care of the baby and make him a devotee and everything. But anyway, so these, you know, every day people are seeing all the tragedies that go on and wondering how God can let this happen. But we can also wonder why so many people who are, like, there was a book, it became quite popular, called Why Do Good Things Happen and Bad Things Happen to Good People? Right? Do you know that book? Does that mean yes or no? You read it? So there's a Jewish rabbi. In Hebrew they say rabbi. In English we say rabbi, teacher. So he's supposed to be a very faithful man to God, right? And his son had this strange disease where you get old when they're 7 years old, dying of old age. You know, so never has a childhood, never has a life. So he was wondering, how could this happen, the innocent child? So he didn't want to say God is bad, and he just picked that person to suffer. He didn't want to say there's no God. So his theory was that God is good, but the evil is more powerful. God didn't want this to happen, but some evil force is more. Now, when I saw that, I said, why do good things happen to bad people? Right? Some people are very, very sinful, but everything's going great for them, materially. You know, they're popular, they're beautiful, they're healthy, they're getting everything they do, they get money, you know, whatever investment they make, just, you know, everything gets better. So then people look and say, well, what's the use of being good? Because I saw a good person, he's always kind, he's always giving charity, but he's always eating the healthiest food and he's always sick. So what's the use? Might as well be bad, right? But because karma, things are going on, so, you know, so we should think that if we spread the holy name more, the world won't be quite so bad, you know. There's always going to be birth and death, though, and old age and disease. But if people are Krishna consciousness, old age and disease doesn't affect them in the same way. Right? As a person who's so totally attached to the body that they'll spend
people mortgage their house, you know, to get cosmetic surgery. It's true. To try to look younger. To avoid getting old. So, but a devotee can grow old gracefully and be sick gracefully. Take it as mercy. Many devotees write, I just was reading one. He got his cancer diagnosis. So he came to life. You know, this devotee hardly ever preached. And, you know, he's a very good devotee internally and at home. And beautiful, the most beautiful deities I've ever seen. And a good family. But he never went out preaching. But he got this cancer diagnosis and he just, you know, and he just madly preaching and every day publishing huge, and everybody really likes it. You know, he's traveling all over to talk about facing death, and you know, feels like I've been holding all this in all my life. You know, now I don't have much time left, but the cancer is not getting any worse. It's going a little bit down, you know. But so, you know, he could have said, why did God do this to me? I'm such a good devotee. I've been worshiping so nicely, and I chant my rounds and my wife, and we, you know, and it's true, they're really good devotees. And his wife is always sick. But I saw them at one japa workshop, and I was like, you know, most impressed by those two people when I watched their japa. I thought, my God, you know, they were so absorbed in it. But so, anyway, the world is, this is, birth and death is all everywhere. You know, we have emergency room at the hospital. And I don't know if that shows on TV here, ER. It's a really popular TV show in America, emergency room. And they even had one that was real emergency room. And then the doctors were commenting, like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with this one, you know. Just, ah. And, you know, and it's a panic all the time. Because the world is full of emergencies, full of accidents, full of heart attacks, full of all these things. But we can't, don't blame Krishna. One devotee told me once, one god brother, told me two things that I never forgot in book distribution. We were partners, but he was a champion at the time. He said, you have to look in the eye of the people. And I didn't, that would give a headache, but then from then on I did it anyway. And he said, don't blame Krishna. Generally, when things go wrong, people blame Krishna, and when things go good, they just enjoy it. One time they lost touch with the astronauts, the radio contact. So they put on, you know, the net, everybody's watching on television. They said, pray, everybody pray, everybody pray. But then when they found them again, they didn't mention, oh, God helped us. Yeah, we did it. Our, you know, the technology, we came through, now they're safe. And I don't know how they work here in America. Do they have the called soap operas? And what do you call them here? Those stupid dramas that come on TV every day. The family dramas. What do they call them? India has a lot of them. I know about them because in Indonesia, everybody's watching them. So you go in any office or shop and there it is. Indian, one of these palaces, you know, with all the dressed up people. Normal Bombay people, right? And so they would, in the American ones, it's about half in the hospital, I remember from childhood. And everybody's panicking, and somebody's in the hospital in the surgery room, and the doctor comes out, very grave. It's in God's hands. He died. God did it. But then they come out very happy. We saved him. Isn't it? They never say God saved him. Maybe Indian doctors do, but pious doctors do. So, I hope that helps. Of course, we pray, we feel sorry, you know, I mean, but the world, like, You probably saw the news, if you're interested in ISKCON, that hurricane was hitting Florida and all the devotees are there and what happened. And, you know, oh, it was horrible. Some devotees are flooded or they don't have electricity for 2 weeks. What a horrible situation. The refrigerator doesn't work. You know, they can't charge their phone. But simultaneously in Bangladesh, 1,500 people died in the flood, and nobody, it's not in the news, you know, in America. And millions of people lost their home. It happens every year, you know. And, you know, we're worried about 10 or 15 people in America got killed in a hurricane. But death is always there, so we feel bad for all these victims of terrorism and everything. But why is there so much terrorism? Why is there such insanity? Why is there stampedes? And because people are just crazy. They don't have good consciousness. So devotees should get more enlivened to try to do more to spread the holy name and make people understand Krishna and understand things better. All right, going over time. That's quite a long one. Any other? More question? I think it's time to stop because we're going to have a very nice talk at, well, not me, but at 1 o'clock. What's the name of the divine? Dayal Chandra. From Udupi, right? So stay tuned for that. And if you're really anxious to hear and chant, there's unlimited things on the ISKCON desire tree and help them get boosted in their ratings, you know, so that more people will watch it. Everyone who goes on, you know, it makes more people go on. The fact. And we really have to give credit to Vaishnava Seva, who's house is completely full of computers and people working on. I don't know where he lives in there. There's not much room. Maybe one little room in the back. And I stayed there one time and I would wake up in the nature at 2 o'clock in the morning and he's working on the desire tree. And he's a surgeon, you know. But he's a super great preacher. Everybody should really try to learn from him how, you know, he didn't start with such a big thing. He started very small, but he got the idea. Get out there. So we can all get out there. And just walk around with tilak, that's good enough. But that's the start. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premananda.
Hare Krishna, there is some announcement. Gita Champion League GCL contest is going on all over Mumbai, where students from various schools enroll and participate in a contest.